comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Alan Bell. Sportsline. On the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
And we welcome in our good friend Alan Bell, who we have missed dearly around these parts. Alan, good morning. How are you?
Hello, friends. Fantastic. How are we doing?
Nice little Jim Nantz there.
Yeah.
Hello, friends.
Dude, let me tell you this. All right, so Jim Nantz, he moved to Nashville, all right? This dude will randomly just call into sports radio and just talk shop. It's wild. It's the funniest thing.
It's like Jim in Nashville will call in and they'll be like, hey, it's Jim. What do you got, Jim?
Yeah. Like, not even a guest. Like, just calls like the fan line.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
So he's got a big old house with the golf course in the backyard.
Let me say this. So he lives in an area that's it's very nice. However, it's understated nice. Like, the houses are certainly like good, but like, they're not like massive.
Mm.
They're just every single thing about the house is like overly well done. It's another brilliant Jim Nantz move.
So,
like, you don't need the big massive one. It's something to where like your doorknobs are like marble.
He went Warren Buffett. Like where we're doing our show right now. 100%. Warren Buffett lives right down the street. And like, people know where he lives now, but you wouldn't, if you had no idea, you would just drive right by it and you would think nothing of it. But if you look at, like, if you see pictures of inside or you see like a floor plan of what's going on in there, you're like, this is not a normal thing.
Yeah. 100%. That's a perfect analogy right there. Yeah.
Good move by Nantz. I like it.
Oh, dude, this guy thinks next level. Like, he really does. Like, I don't know the guy, but like, he seems like he's just got things, like he knows what he's doing.
I got a question for you before we get rolling. How alarmed, we ran a poll question yesterday that asked, have you ever fallen asleep while driving? And as of about 5 minutes ago, we were polling at 55% yes.
Yeah. You know what? My answer is yes as well.
Oh, no.
Frightening. Yeah, dude.
This is not good. Right. I didn't know this. I don't want to drive anymore. I don't want to go on the roads.
No, like, that's the thing. And I say this as having answered virtually yes on your poll, that when you look around, that there are a lot of psychotics that are driving 3,000-pound missiles. Yeah, it's frightening, dude. Like, it's not safe.
Yeah.
At all.
This is not something we need to think about really anymore.
No.
Like, we should not have ran that poll question. Ignorance is bliss. We just continue on throughout life.
Yeah, and they just hand out driver's license. Like, they just, dude, it's Halloween candy over there, man.
It's true. Oh, man. We got to stop this train of thought because it can get scary in a hurry. Alan, how's the first weekend of the tournament for you? I mean, there was a couple really notable, like, bad beats. That were out there, including I think the late game on Sunday night in TCU and Gonzaga. How was the first weekend of the tournament?
Yeah, so I had Gonzaga minus 4.5. That was brutal. My bracket's busted as
they all are. Yep.
Had some bets hit, had a lot of bets not hit, but I love it. Like, I mean, that's what the NCAA tournament is. You know what I mean? And I'll take that 10 out of 10 times, because what it means is that March Madness delivers, dude. Like, it delivers every year. It's different every year of what you're going to get. Like, we don't even really get buzzer beaters anymore. Like, remember, that used to be standard.
Yep.
Right? But, like, I'm good with it because, I mean, like, Christmas doesn't even deliver every year. I could think of a lot of Christmases that were just, you know, they were just Frasier, right? Like, they were just there, right? But March Madness, dude, like, it brings it every single year. It's awesome.
It's funny, and we're going to talk, because Creighton plays Princeton on Friday in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to a Princeton guy coming up next to get the lowdown.
Oh, let me say this. Pause real quick.
Yeah,
interrupt you. Thank God that something finally good happened to those boys over at Princeton. I know it's been tough for them. All right, keep going. Sir.
So that is a clue in to the question that I'm going to ask you. They have they are not America's darling whatsoever. It doesn't seem to, you know, maybe we got distracted with the Farley Dickinson thing. That's a part of it. And they didn't have, you know, insane games. Obviously they upset Arizona and they really beat Missouri to kind of a pulp, like, but they didn't have a moment or anything like that. Princeton is just in the Sweet 16 and it seems like almost normal.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, obviously, like, for a kid around, like, they're a great story. For exactly what you just said, right? Like, the upset of Arizona, huge. And then it was like, because we were having the same conversation in our office, right? Like, okay, Princeton beat Arizona, great. What the hell do you do with them now?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you do with them now? Like, do you fade them? Do they play well? And they go out and just beat the hell out of Missouri. And Missouri is a basketball team that's playing pretty good. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, I kid about that. But, like, yeah, like, Princeton is – they're doing it, dude. Like, them and Creighton, that's going to be fun.
You know what's funny? And you look at Creighton, and I think, you know, if you were ranking, like, the Sweet 16 teams, Creighton would be, I mean, in the bottom half probably, which is – I mean, you know, you're playing with some of the big boys in the country right now. But they have Princeton, and then it's probably – yes, it's either going to be Alabama or San Diego State with a chance to go to the Final Four. Like, what's your read and where is some value if you would like to bet on Creighton, whether it's going to the Final Four or going to, you know, winning the national championship? I think I was looking yesterday, Creighton has the fifth best odds to win the national championship right now. Like, where is value for you if you're thinking about Creighton?
Well, let me say this. I would take it a game at a time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not betting any futures because, my God, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen here. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, here's the thing, is, like, what you said of, like, Creighton, you know, quote-unquote, like, kind of, like, being at the bottom, I don't want to play him. Like, this team is good, you know what I mean? And, like, and they're not a fluke either. Like, this team has been good. They play good defense. They play excellent offense. Like, they can shoot you out of a building anytime, right? Like, I mean, they're kind of like Duke, like, to where they could take a lot of shots. And they can take a few shots. Like, you know, their game can be adapted to however you play, but it's a very high percentage offense, right? So, yeah, like, I don't have a great answer for, you know, in terms of, like, betting, like, towards the future because, again, like, the hell knows what's about to happen this weekend? But, dude, I wouldn't doubt great now, man.
How much different from a, I guess, from a betting perspective, we've come to know the first weekend of the tournament. The first weekend of the tournament is almost its own thing. And then the second weekend of the tournament, it gets a little bit more serious. And usually what happens is there's probably three Final Four teams, ends up being three Final Four teams where you're like, oh yeah, we should have saw that one coming. And then there's one that's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And they had a nice little run to get there. What is different about betting the second weekend than the first and then the third weekend to the other two?
Well, so here's what's beautiful about the NCAA tournament. It's actually like an advertiser's dream because what you sell is kind of the Vince McMahon. Like, you sell the sizzle, not the sake of just all the craziness, you know, that goes on. But that's really the first weekend. After that, like, 16 on, it's generally an incredibly chalk tournament, right? Like, you know, I mean, look, like, I think we've only had, like, one over four seed, like, one that's a higher than a four seed win, like, once since, like, 1979. A one seed has won the tournament 5 years in a row. Like, it's incredibly chalky. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be chalk across the board, you know, for the Sweet 16, but, you know, generally, like, once we start to get to this point, yeah, like, it flips. So while you're betting craziness, you know, in the 64 and 32, 16, 8, and 4, it generally plays out how your brain immediately thinks. So what I would say is this. Betting the 64 and the 32, it's just mad. It's insanity. Like, just good luck. Like, just be alive. Like, don't run out of money. You know what I mean? But, like, once you get to 16 and beyond, don't overthink it. Like, what you think and what you see is generally going to continue to happen.
Yeah, and this is I guess probably a little bit more of like a big picture like college basketball question, but it does it seems that way where we have the you know, and this has been the last couple of years, you can plan on a whole bunch of upsets, and now as we've seen over the last few years, no upset is off the table. A 16 can beat a 1 now. And we've seen more 15-2s and plenty of 14-3s and all that stuff in the in-between. So that first round is just sort of insanity. And there's, you know, the only way to do it is kind of take it one game at a time. And like you said, not sort of drown on the first weekend.
Yeah. The biggest thing is just don't run out of money.
Yeah.
Like literally, like just be cool, you know, pick your spot. But you're right. I mean, you know, parity. I mean, look at college basketball, like throughout the season. Like, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. I mean, you know, how many teams, you know, were ranked number one and then immediately lost? I think Tennessee did it twice,
yep.
Right? Like, I mean, just immediately lost, you know? So it's like, yeah, like, of course, like, this is going to happen. And it's going to continue, you know, with NIL and those types of things. It's not going to be slanted to blue bloods, man. Like, you're going to see talent kind of distributed out, which I think is a good thing. You know, like, you've got hope. And that's okay. Look, I think that's the best word. I think college basketball, especially the NCAA tournament, what it provides, man, is hope. Like,
yeah.
You've got a shot. Whereas, you know, college football, dude, it feels like it's the same four teams every single year, right? So I can't wait till they expand the college football playoffs because I think we're going to get a little bit more with this.
You also have the age part of it for college basketball and sort of where it's at right now. I mean, some of these smaller schools will be a little bit more likely, unless they transfer out, of course, to have – you know, an older, sort of more experienced roster. There's that piece of it too. Like, it's this weird confluence of those teams are getting better. There's players everywhere. Players are easier to identify. And you have the COVID year thrown in there, so guys are sort of staying at their places, you know, or if they're not staying, they're, you know, at least getting older and staying in college basketball in general. And it can make for this thing where guys are moving around so much, you don't, like, you can't plan on, you know, except for the Blue Bloods, really. You can't just say, oh, this team, I know that they're going to be, like, in the second weekend or in the Final Four every year because there's just so much parity, especially in this tournament.
So much. And, you know, and you just spoke of a good thing, too, that, you know, there's a million ways to go about doing this, you know? Like, you know, you could be, you know, a team that play. Look at Tennessee. Tennessee cannot score at all.
Yep.
But they're the only team in the tournament that's held both of their opponents to 55 points or less in each game,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like you can get there defensively. You can get there offensively. You can get there with a young player. You can get there with seniors and juniors, right? Like, there's a lot of ways to do it. And, you know, think about this. We talk about the Blue Bloods. Like, look at John Calipari in Kentucky.
Yep.
It's been a long while since Kentucky was Kentucky. You know what I mean? Like, once LeBron and Drake and World Wide West stopped recruiting for Calipari,
mm-hmm.
buddy, it changed, didn't it?
There hasn't been a lot of fresh, you know, teams that with star freshmen to run the show and to make deep runs over the last couple of years. Just sort of anecdotally, I know there's a couple, you know, big time, you know, Brandon Miller obviously is out there with Alabama sure. right now, and he's the best player on probably the best team in the country. But I can't remember, you know, it's been probably 5 or so years since one of those teams. You know, sniff the national championship. It's been a little bit more older, experienced teams.
Which I think is good for the game, right? Like, because, you know, you don't want to see 12 freshmen coming in and just dominating it. Like, it's good for the sport. Like, teams are built out well, like you said. Teams that do it right, but teams that have good mixtures, juniors and seniors, couple star freshmen, like Alabama. Like, Alabama, Nate Oates built that thing, you know, to kind of exactly that. Like, you look at Brandon Miller, but the other four dudes around him are pretty solid
yep.
as well.
And right? they're older.
Yeah, exactly. And they can play good defense, too, and score 80-plus points, 100%.
When you look at the Sweet 16 round, Alan, is there any game specifically that stands out to you or a trend that you'll be sort of watching? I mean, you talked about the whole sort of offense-defense thing. We haven't been able to make, you know, heads or tails of it. Like, what can win in this round? Like, is there anything when you look ahead of the games on Thursday, Friday, and then into Saturday, Sunday that you're sort of thinking about, whether it's a trend or a specific game?
Yeah, so, you know, I take a look at trends in terms of scoring and in terms of defense. And what I mean by this is take a look at Gonzaga, right? Like, you know, if you just take the two NCAA tournament games that each team has played, you know, Gonzaga's up there at the top with the most average points scored per game for Alabama. That said, Gonzaga's dead last in the amount of points they've given up in each game. Tennessee's the opposite way. Tennessee's on average giving up 53 points per game in the NCAA tournament. That's the best out of all 16 teams.
Bonkers.
However, they're only averaging 61 points per game offensively. It's the worst among the 16 teams in the NCAA tournament. So it's like, yeah, like watch out for those teams. Like, you don't want to see wild variances. You want teams that are pretty solid. You know who's the most, like, the couple most solid? UCLA, Arkansas, UConn. What? All three of those four teams are all in, like, that same, like, four quadrant there with UCLA and Gonzaga playing,
yep,
and Arkansas and UConn. Like, that's the group of death. Like, those four, my God, I can't wait to watch who comes out, you know, of that region there to go to the Final Four, because it could be any of them. Arkansas could do it. UConn could do it. UCLA could do it. Gonzaga could do it. Those four, like that's the group of death. I cannot wait to watch those three games.
Yeah, man, it's a great point, because you still look at it, we're down to 16, and we still have 2-1 seeds left and a couple twos as well. Like, is there a team, if you were to say, this is my one team, I'm most confident that they're going to make the Final Four, they're going to win two games this weekend out of anybody, who is it?
Probably Alabama, because, I mean, they didn't even have a 64-32. Like, they just coasted through it.
Yep.
It was basically home games.
And they'll either be playing a 15 or a 6 in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Like, I think that, you know, Alabama probably has, again, understand, quote-unquote, you know, the best slate compared to, say, you know, Arkansas, who was like, all right, we have to go, you know, through UConn and then UCLA or Gonzaga. But that being said, like, watch out. Like, any of those four teams down there could get – whichever one gets out of that is gonna go home, rest, practice at home, then fly to the Final Four. And they're like, we'll play. We're not scared of anyone.
Right.
Like, we'll play anybody at any time. So, yeah, I can't wait to see it, man.
Before we let you go, Alan, quick, any thought on NFL free agency or Aaron Rodgers and that entire fiasco?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's taking it. They're going to drag this thing all the way to the NFL draft, like exactly what we thought it would be. And we're all thinking it's going to be the Jets and watch. It'll be like he'll go to like the Patriots or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's gonna have a swerve thrown in here. It cannot be normal for Aaron Rodgers.
Ever. Nope, never is. Alan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week probably and get ready to go for the Final Four. Enjoy the basketball this weekend.
Hey, man, you guys too. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you.
That is Alan Bell, Sportsline, CBS Sportsline. He's been tweeting out some pretty good nuggets just on what he's really into, sort of what the teams are allowing and the averages and stuff like that in the NCAA tournament, like that sample size. So you could follow him on Twitter at Alan Bell 247. This is the daily podcast, The Early Edge, as well.
Did you have Jim Nance calling into sports radio? I would have never guessed that in a million years.
Way off brand.
Yeah.
Way off brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have thought that he's Mr. like seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Do
not talk to me. Do not look me in the eyes.
Didn't peg him for a hide in plain sight house either.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
A lot of upsets there.
He's got his other house in Southern California, right? Still like on like the, you know, he's got like a golf hole in his backyard,
sure,
his winery and all that stuff, and his tie collection. Like, he's definitely got a second house still. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Alan's right. Maybe he just straight up moved to Nashville. Would be a wild Nance move.
It would.
Maybe we're about to see a different version of Nance in retirement.
Maybe.
I don't know what that guy's going to do. Yeah, I think he still lives on Pebble Beach. He's got a house on Pebble Beach.
That feels more on brand.
Yeah. It sure does. Okay. So that's a good breakdown of this weekend and where we might be headed. I think he's right. If there's one, you're probably looking at the path of least resistance, right? And the path of least resistance to get to the Final Four is probably Alabama. That's not to say Creighton, let's just say Creighton, can't beat them. I think if they play their game on the right day, they can. They're capable. It's going to be obviously a tough task if Creighton can get through Princeton. And speaking of Princeton, coming up next, Kyle Franco is on the Princeton beat. What's going on with Princeton? Why isn't Princeton America's sweetheart? Why doesn't the slipper fit? Creighton gets him this Friday at the KFC. Yum! Exclamation point. Center. So we'll talk some Princeton next here on 1620 The Zone. But this week's Zone deal is for Rib Shack Smokehouse. Established 2010 in St. Louis, Rib Shack Smokehouse, known for its southern taste of down-home soul food and barbecue, ribs, smoked wings, collard greens, mac and cheese, and more. Rib Shack Smokehouse, 108th and Q. And this week's Zone deal, you'll get two $25 vouchers, which is $50 for just $25. That's half off, Josh. Whoa. On sale this Friday at 9, 1620thezone.com.